come into your homes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Teo in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heisig.
Awesome. And now,
here we go.
Email your questions now to studio@star88.fm.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Did it.
I love it. Is Wednesday the best day of the week?
Not for me.
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Yeah.
Monday is the best day of my week.
Me either, guys.
Is Wednesday really the best day of your week?
I just think
radio-wise...
Or are
you just trying like, to be like...
No, I'm being serious.
Oh. Comics Corner.
I love
Corner.
The morning show. We've
it's
got
Comics
Whatever
Corner.
Wednesday. We got Comics Corner.
That's what you love
we
about
it. We got Shock Therapy Live. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I like hanging out, dog.
Uh-uh.
It's fun.
I'm like Eeyore.
It is Shock Therapy Live. Steve Oteo and Pastor Nate Heitzig in studio.
Dude, have you guys had clover yet?
Yeah.
It's good, huh?
Yeah, have you had that clover, man? Can you kick me some of that clover? Here's the thing, man. We got to like taste it. It's like drug dealers over at Sopo. They're like, hey, man, it's free samples.
They're making it for like full on now.
They are?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
They sold it this weekend.
Oh, see? Went in there and was like, hey, man, you got any more of that clover? And they're like, nah, dog, not yet.
Steve-O.
Huh?
I'd like to make a special announcement.
Okay.
Laura just spoiled Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on our Facebook, and I hid it so it's not spoiled for you. Thanks, Laura.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Why would you do that, Laura?
Gosh, I haven't watched that show in a long time.
Oh, man, it's gotten so good. No! Dang it! I hit it, so you don't have to worry about it.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. The worst. Spoiler.
She didn't mean to. She's a sweet gal.
Yeah.
We've met her before.
Yeah. She just spoiled S.H.I.E.L.D. for you. Guys, we go to bed at like 9 o'clock. We don't have time. So back to clover.
Yeah. It's really good.
It is really. It just reminds me of French press, like a clean.
It just tastes super clean.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's good.
That's the thing with
I enjoy it.
Makes my heart happy.
Well, now that I know that I can actually go get some, I'll go have some. Can I walk over with you though so that they'll actually approve it?
No, literally they were selling it this weekend at church.
That doesn't mean anything. Maybe they just don't like me. I walked over there and I was like, "Dude, you got any more of that clover?"
It's a good possibility.
That's very true. Yeah. So if I walk over with you and be like, "Nah, I'm here with friends."
Man, if somebody asked me for clover and I was going to tell them no, I'd make a four-leaf clover joke every time. Looks like you just got a three-leaf clover because you're out of luck, friend. No clover for you.
Amazing. For those that
and
don't
I just
know
start
what
singing
we're talking
Jimmy
about,
World.
Solomon's Porch Coffee Shop here on our campus. We just got like this crazy awesome coffee machine that
the clover
does all kinds of stuff. The cool thing
as
is
seen,
Ian,
as seen in the coffee shop that has a mermaid.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, absolutely amazing. So, anyways, get over there. Solomon's Porch. It is Shock Therapy Live. Phone lines are open. 505.
Somebody's calling about the clover.
338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. You can also chime in on Facebook, facebook.com/star88FM. Or we do talk about sensitive subject matter. So if you'd like to keep it anonymous, you can do so by sending us an email, studio@star88.fm. We promise not to... share your information. Just say, hey, Shock Therapy Live.
Do we ever get emails from people complaining?
Complaining about
what
the
we
show?
Talk about?
No. I'm trying to think if we've ever gotten a complaint.
When we first started it, we did.
Well, that's because we were pretty new. I think people have come to know what Shock Therapy Live is going to be all about.
That's why we don't get calls anymore.
Whatever, the phone lines are jammed. Let's just go out to them. I'll pick up line two. There we go. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Yo, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
Chillin'.
Hey, if I'm going to have coffee, I'm going to have it the way they do in Breaking Bad, bro.
I don't know how they do it in Breaking Bad.
Inside of the lab.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that's the clover machine. All right, guys. I love you later.
I'm not a chemist. Love you too, bro. Was
that a drug joke?
Literally it. Are we going to line one?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was line two?
Line two was Pool Boy and Cruces, who literally just wanted to make a comment about how he would drink coffee if he could have it anyway, and it was like Breaking Bad. And I thought of the chemist who just like made the perfect cup of coffee.
Yeah, this is our boy Shane. He wants to kind of continue that discussion we got into on Theology Thursday about art and blasphemy.
Oh, okay.
A little bit. Yeah.
Oh,
where'd he go?
Except he hung up. So let's go out to line two. Maybe this is
what?
It. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
Yeah, that's crazy, dude. Pool Boy just chiming in when I got his question. That's weird timing, right?
I don't know. Huh? I mean, is it?
Anyway, whatever. Yeah, it is.
Blood Moon.
So,
oh.
Dude, so here's the thing, Nate. You're a bona fide pastor. And last week, one of the topics on the morning show was art, and where does art like cross the line?
Sacred and secular.
Mm.
Right, right. And so I just kind of wanted to revisit that because it's really been on my heart ever since, man.
I'm sorry, dude. He hasn't slept in days.
Dude, it's been a week, bro, and I've just been kind of holding my breath and blue. Yeah, and I'm no, but seriously, I think it's it is something that does bother me.
So
because
I
feel like
let me catch the audience up then, and because we were talking about art, and in any art form, you know, people will tend to draw certain lines, and there were some artists in Argentina that were doing a religion of plastic, if you will. It was all about how we've come to worship beauty. So they created these Barbie dolls in the image of different gods, if you will. So there was like deities, different, you know, well, two of them were, one of them was the Virgin Mary, and one of them was a Ken doll crucified on a cross. Yeah.
Yikes.
And Roman Catholic Church, obviously not happy. A year ago, they tried to open the art exhibit to bomb threats from Catholics, did not open the art exhibit. This year they did, and it's been a different response. But, you know, people immediately were like, dude, that is blasphemy. I would never do something like that. So Shane, being an actor, I said, Shane, you're an actor. Let's say Scorsese approaches you. Hey, we want you to co-star with DiCaprio. You got to play a mobster who's vile and language and this and that. How would you respond to that as a Christian? And he hasn't slept in a week.
Huh. Yeah, so basically, and this is, exactly. So it morphed into my first role on national television was a mob guy that was going to stab Mary McCormick. So, you know, we've been there, but being that, dude, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm living a Christian life in my personal life, and this is just something I do as a sort of a pseudo-occupation when I do it. What is my responsibility biblically in my filtration process? And I get free will, and I get personal accountability, my relationship with Christ. But scripturally, is there something that I can go to take it to myself in this context and say, you know, dude, I can accept that role because I have a responsibility in my Christian community. And like it or not, because I've proclaimed myself a Christian and I'm standing on this platform, I have a responsibility to my church family, to my, you know, to my family at home. I mean, and on down the line, the people that may or may not look to me and say, you know, man, I know that guy and he's done some really cool things, but man, he takes these roles and it's contrary to who he is in his personal life, man, that's a conflict for me. I don't dig that. Or, you know, and I know there's going to be some of that regardless, but what does God say?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously there's no scripture that talks about art.
Thou
in
shalt
the
not
sense
take
of,
the role.
You know,
in
but what I would take it to, I think the closest correlation that I could say is this biblical principle that we obey man's law up until the point that it supersedes God's law. And so I think that the bigger issue is, you know, playing a mobster where, okay, you're a mobster and your role is that you're going to stab, you know, this actress. Well, you're not physically going to murder her. And so you're playing a role, you're literally in a play, if you will. And there is biblical precedence of Paul and of people in the Bible referring to culture and referring to drama and referring to theater. And so I think that the issue, though, where it becomes wrong is when man tells you to actually sin. So let's say they say, hey, we want you to be in this sex scene, and you actually got to take off your clothes and be with this chick. Because, I mean, that's what they do in Hollywood. Like, you literally have to have this nude scene. Well, to me, that would be a point at which man's law is superseding God's law, and at that point, you got to obey God. Mm. Or if they want you to play opposite Leonardo DiCaprio and every other word is the F word, and, you know, you realize, man, by doing this, I physically will be sinning against my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because I believe this is wrong. And so I think that for me, it's one of those things where I think that for a Christian in Hollywood, you've really got to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And you've got to feel that sense that when God's telling you, you know what, if there's any check in your spirit about doing that role, you shouldn't do it. Mm. And I think you've got to be really, really sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But my answer would be, if man, no matter who that man is, whether that man is the President of the United States telling you that, hey, it's okay to kill a baby, or whether or not that man is Martin Scorsese saying, hey, it's okay to drop the F-bomb every word because it's a movie, no matter who that man is, we never want to let man's law supersede God's law.
Does that help you out, man?
Yeah, dude. That's huge, man. Thank you so much, bro. I appreciate
that. Yeah, dude. Thanks for calling in, man.
All right.
Yeah, you guys got it, man.
Hey, Shane, also, hey, I want to encourage you to go check out an article. Sean Astin, he was Samwise Gamgee. Mm-hmm. He was in Goonies. We talked about this during Comics Corner, but he was talking about Christian films. And now, like, you know, in his, I guess, quote unquote, older age, he's like my age. Well, he's a few years older, but he's like your age.
Yeah, right. Come on, dude. Just
I'm
you
just
with that.
Kidding. All right. He was talking about roles in these Christian films and standing out as a Christian in Hollywood now, because there are going to be some doors that close when you stand up and say, bro, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ, and because of that, I can't do that. He even, one of his quotes was, quote, Hollywood is antagonistic to Christian films because of forces that are hard to describe, but Christians have made things difficult for themselves by the way they approach the outside community, end quote. And so he said that, wow. I mean, it goes both ways, but yeah. You do have to know, and I fully believe this, if you turn down a role because you're like, this goes against my convictions as a Christian, I cannot, and you stand up for Jesus, I got to believe that our Lord is not going to be like, oh, nicely done, too bad everything else in your life is going to suck now. You know, like, God totally. Will always provide, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you glorify him with your actions, he's going to honor that decision. So anyways.
Yeah, dude, you know, and again, I think there's some really good things that came out of this topic. I mean, what Pastor Nate's given me, what you're giving me, is good, useful information that I can actually use.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that another point that was made throughout, like, going through this topic that was really important is questioning the intent, the heart behind the project. Yeah. Because the one variable we're never going to really be able to control is how your audience, whether it's a theatrics, whether it's somebody's preaching a message, using a harsh, whether it be something you can see, hear, or, you know, for instance, the art that, you know, in question that raised the topic to begin with in Argentina, those types of things, we never know how that's going to impact the audience. For me, I see something horrific in theater, and I say, man, I never want to do that. God, yeah. That's awful. Yeah. Look at what's going on there. That's terrible.
Totally.
Look at the suffering that's created, where somebody else might look at that and say, man, I'm going to do that. Yeah. And that's the variable that's so, which raises, you know, the responsibility aspect of this, but as far as I'm concerned, if the intent and the heart behind the project is coming from a good place and isn't contrary to my relationship with Christ, and his example, then I know I'm going in a good direction, and it's something that I feel like I can be a part of. But as far as Nate raising up those critical key points, like, dude, you're a married man or whatever the case may be, you believe in Christ, and you got to strip down in the scene. Dude, you need to go ahead and tell them you're not going to do that scene.
Yeah.
They need to get somebody else to do that or what have you. And that's huge, man, to have a pastor be able to guide you through something as complicated as that.
Or like, you know, as Steve just brought up, like this Martin Scorsese mobster, like I look at the movie like The Departed.
Right.
Like,
right.
Dude, I don't think there's any role you could play in that movie and have a good conscience.
That's Steve-O's favorite movie.
But so you know, like I think it's something like that. Like, even if you're the good guy in that movie, the amount of language and profuse language is in that movie. Like, imagine your kid coming up to you and saying, Dad, you told me not to say bad words, but I saw this movie that you were in and you said all those bad words. And then you saying, oh, but that's different because I was acting.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, so if I'm pretending, it's okay for me to say that stuff, but I can't say that stuff normal. Like,
right.
It just draws a very gray line, you know?
Yeah, it does.
And so I think
that's so true, man. That's so true. And I don't want to open up this whole new topic by saying what I could say, but I definitely had an opportunity at a role that I, and somebody asked me, you know, would you take this one? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, because
I mean,
when it was, then when my kids were 3 and 4, sitting in the living room watching Daddy on TV,
right.
And immediately Ava's first question was, hey, who's that other family with Dad?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you start to realize, dude, it takes an effect. There is an impact there.
Dude, that's why Adam Sandler isn't funny anymore. Family, bro. What's it good for? No, I'm just
well,
kidding.
Also because, dude, that's a bigger can of worms. Like, you think about, like, what was funny and what was offensive back in the 90s.
No, true.
Like, I remember when Happy Gilmore came out.
Right.
Like, that was offensive.
Billy
My parents wouldn't let me watch that movie,
right.
Billy Madison. That, like, the sad reality is, like, what was once the edge and what was funny seeing what was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that, like in the 90s with Adam Sandler and Chris Farley, is like family child comedies now.
Compared
and like now,
to
like
Seth
you've got like
McFarlane.
Seth Rogen, like dropping the F bomb and smoking pot with Jonah Hill and like, you know, talking about terrible things. And so it's just like the culture we're in now, entertainment is constantly pushing the limit. And so what was funny and over the line 10 years ago is family comedy now. It's just like
so true,
crazy.
But you know, I noticed a shift. I do. I notice a shift in the generation beneath us and in our generation culturally that suggests that, you know, there's always a balance. There's always going to be a balance. And where you had like Grand Theft Auto and all these games glorifying just the filthiest behavior and the most ridiculous of the ridiculous of the poor behavior that you'd ever see, hear, you know, definitely don't want to be a part of. You're getting to a point where you're looking around and you're seeing people, man, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to participate in that. Dude, I want to do the right thing. I want to impact my community in a great way. Yeah. And I'm seeing that out of kids. And that's giving me hope for a bright future. So, listen, dudes, I love you guys, man. You guys keep it up.
Dude,
thank you
so much.
You too, man. All right. Hurricane Shane. Love that guy.
Dude.
It brings about a ton of questions.
Does, man.
Because, I mean, we're taking it to the extreme with the Departed or mob movies, but one thing that we were talking about was not being able to manage, if you will, how someone will interpret it. Because we've seen here, even just within the church here at Calvary, when we do worship a certain way, somebody doesn't interpret it well. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this is too flashy, or you did this, and this offends me, you know? And it's like, okay, well, so you can't be driven by the way someone interprets what you're doing, because when we're saying it comes back to the heart of it, it could be something as beautiful as the way we worship.
You know, to me, I think like a bigger thing with like a movie, it's like, dude, like, so obviously, you know, there's always violence in movies. That's part and parcel to a movie. But like, for instance, like a curse word or cursing in a movie, if you wouldn't say something out on the street, you probably shouldn't say it in a movie.
Yeah.
And so if you're comfortable saying some of those things on the street, you know what? Whatever, dude, do what you got to do. But if you wouldn't say it at home in front of your kids, then probably don't say it in a movie, because someday your kids will probably see it.
This is quite true. Quite true. Phone lines are open. It is Shock Therapy Live. 505-338-3700 if you'd like to hang out. That's 505-338-3700. Let's go to line one. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Great conversation, by the way. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good, man.
I'm going to go ahead and piggyback off of that. I was talking to a friend this morning on the way to work about how we pray for things such as our jobs, especially here in America. We tend to, hey God, you know, I need a job so I can provide for my family, and then we ask for even better jobs and promotions and things like that. How we tend to find ourselves and put ourselves in the most comfortable situations. And I'm one to try to share the gospel, you know, and it's one of the most uncomfortable things to do. But yet here in America, especially, we want to be comfortable. I mean, how comfortable is your studio right now?
It's actually
not as comfortable as you think.
I was going to say, it's like the size of a broom closet. It's pretty warm in here, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm super comfortable.
Teo's comfortable.
I'm
He's very comfortable. He's cushy. We answer line two, comfortable.
Wait, what?
I'm just kidding. Anyways, yeah, man.
So, I mean, just my point is that, you know, Jesus was uncomfortable up on the cross, right?
Right. It was probably pretty uncomfortable to be on the cross.
Right.
Is there a question? Yeah. What's the question?
I mean, how do we go about finding the balance
between comfort and
doing what we're supposed to be doing, sharing the gospel and making disciples?
That's a great question.
Well, I don't think it has to be. You know, I think obviously there's this huge mentality that if God calls you to do something, you need to be responsive to that call. But God doesn't call everybody to go into the jungles of Burma and go barefoot and suffer for the Lord. God doesn't call everybody to do that. God calls some people to be faithful in their job that they've had for 15 years, to faithfully serve him, you know, to not, you know, because a lot of people, Levi talked about it this weekend at church, it was great. He said a lot of people have this mentality that they're not being used by God unless they're going out doing some crazy thing, and there's this, but a lot of those people are really just flaky. Those are the same people who constantly go from church to church, and they're constantly saying, well, I don't know what God has for me, and they're really just flaky people. And God God has called a lot of people to look, just be an accountant and balance those checkbooks as good as you possibly can.
Yeah.
He used this great illustration. I absolutely loved it, of a mom, you know, having her quiet time. And this is the way he phrases it. Like, you know, she's sitting there having her Bethmore Bible study saying, Jesus, just give me a heart to teach. Just give me a soul to mold. Shut up, Billy. I'm having my quiet time.
Right.
Lord,
right.
Just help me to find a young life to nurture. And kids, be quiet. Mom is having her Bethmore time.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, God did give you a life to mold. God did give you a soul to nurture and a soul to pour into. But you're too busy looking for that great thing that you think God has for you that you're missing the small thing that God wants for you.
Mm.
And so I think that sometimes we need to just be in this place where we say, Lord, this job that you have me in, yeah, I do believe that it's what you've called for me. But look, if you call me to pull a Jonah, go to Nineveh and be uncomfortable in your name, I'll do it and I'll heed that call. But I'm not going to necessarily feel like because I'm not doing that, that what I'm doing is any less important for you or for your kingdom because I'm raising a family or because I'm working a 9-to-5 job to provide for my family.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, and we miss out on the opportunity of, as you were saying, you were having a conversation on the way to work with a coworker, right?
No, with a friend of mine.
With a friend of yours. Okay. But imagine, you know, missing out on that conversation with said friend of yours because you were busy trying to figure out what it is God had for you instead of actually, I don't know,
and
having a conversation with your friend.
And I see a biblical precedence for this, too. Like, you look at the disciples, like, man, they left everything and they were uncomfortable for Jesus. But look at a guy like Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus invited Jesus into his home, and we see in a apparent life change in Zacchaeus's life. But Zacchaeus doesn't go on the road with Jesus.
Mm-mm.
Zacchaeus still has a big home. Zacchaeus still has all the stuff that he had before. He has a life change and he's serving the Lord, but we don't see, you know, him leave all of his stuff and begin to go on the road and become a disciple. God calls some to that kind of a ministry. God called 12 people to that kind of a ministry. He didn't call every person who gave their life to him in the New Testament to that kind of a ministry. To most in the New Testament, when they had a life change, God just had them stay where they were at and continue and persevere in what they were doing. So I think that there's nothing wrong. Now, I do think within prayer, I think there's nothing wrong with praying for our needs. As a matter of fact, Matthew 6:8 says that God knows your needs before even you know them. And so I think that there is this sense that there's nothing wrong praying for our needs. I think it does become wrong when we get into a place where prayer becomes a giant want list. And it's like, God, man, you've given me this great job, but I could really use 6 figures, man. I could really use, you know, that beautiful brand new Ferrari. You know, I could really use that new home. And I think that when prayer becomes a list of wants, that becomes a bigger issue. And so I think that's a bigger issue in America than needs. You know, I think that, and there is this reality within America, the amount of money that you need to survive is a lot different than the amount of money you need in Africa. So you hear people all the time say, well, what about the kid in Africa? And you have this amount of money. Okay, but genuinely, because of the economy, the amount of money you need within America to survive is different than the amount of money you need in Africa.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's right to make people feel bad for, you know, a husband, for instance, saying, man, I need to make this amount of money to provide for my wife and my kids and to make sure that they can not only just survive, but that they can thrive in life and that they can, you know, do what they want to in life, that they can go to a college, that they can, you know, that they can truly have a good life. I don't think there's anything wrong with having those desires. But when those desires steer your life and it becomes a point where it's constantly in a rat race to get more and more and more and say, you know what, yeah, we're getting by, but we could do better.
Yeah.
And when it's constantly about more and more and more, I think that becomes the issue.
Mm. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be covetousness?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah.
Funny, because we sometimes can get caught up in praying covetousness then, huh?
Oh, dude.
100%, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, man, I love you guys. One last question. Are you guys dressing up as Star Wars characters for Halloween?
Oh, man.
Dude, I'm not dressing up.
I was going to say, on the 30th, I'm going to be here at Matt Redman, so I'm probably going to be wiped because I'm old and lame. So I don't even know if I'm doing anything.
If I dress up in a sheet and cut a bunch of holes in it and say that I'm the Holy Ghost, on a scale from 1 to 10, how fired am I?
Dude, that's funny.
Thanks for the call, man. That was actually Chrissy Jeter's idea.
Yeah, that was Chrissy Jeter. Guys, gotta
Holy
go
Ghost.
To the other line.
Make your kid do it because they can't get in trouble for crap like that. cute when a kid does it. When an adult does it.
Jay Danger was R2-D2
last
night.
I don't think I'm dressing up this year. I don't know. I had this grand plan to be Daredevil, like, before, you know, just the black costume type thing. And then I remember that I'm an adult and I don't have time to just cosplay all day long.
Yeah.
I want to do David and Goliath, but I want to do, like kind of like zombie David and Goliath. Ooh, so I want to have my head gone and have Seth carrying around a head that looks like mine. And me following him around like zombie Goliath, risen from the dead.
You're the reason why we can't have cool
coming
things
out to
here.
Get David.
Okay, you're the reason why Bible Island has to implement like a costume rule.
But I'm also the reason why 2 years ago we had a Rise from the Grave zombie concert at the Lobo Theater.
Dude, yeah. And the reason why we haven't had a second annual.
The reason we haven't had a second annual is because we made no money on
that's
that.
That's quite true.
We lost a ton of money because we thought
freaking awesome.
Right? We thought that was going to be like, okay, what teenager doesn't want to go to a zombie concert with the Almost?
Yeah.
And not a lot of them did.
That was a fun night.
That was an amazing night. I had a blast. Gosh.
Just shows you, when you get old, you think you know what kids want, because I would have done that when I was a teenager, but all the teenagers now was like, no, I want to go to a dance party.
No, if you would have had a party where everybody could have sat around and watched other people play Minecraft,
yes,
it would have packed
that's
it
what we should have done. Just a giant YouTube video on the screen of
all
other
the, all the kids today
games.
Are like, zombies? No, I want to be like a little hussy fairy. That's what kids today want to be.
Sexy blanket. I'm just saying.
That's his costume this year. Sexy blanket.
Sexy blanket.
I'm going as a brony. Yeah, man.
A brony?
Let's have a My Little Pony party.
If you dress up like one every day, it doesn't count as a costume, Steve-O.
Touche, my friend.
You should dress Brody up as a brony. Brody the brony.
Brody
the
brony. Okay. Do that, Steve-O.
Brody. No, thanks. I have high hopes for his future and none of them.
I already bought him a Rainbow Dash costume.
Okay.
From Costco.
Phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. Man, let's go out to line two. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
How are you guys doing today?
Dude,
doing
fantastic.
Good.
Awesome. It sounds like it. I've been listening to you all morning. You guys have such a good time.
Dude, right we do. On.
Oh, man. So I have a question. I've been struggling lately with... I'm in a band, and I've recently found my relationship with Jesus, and I have a family, and I have kids, and just kind of, the band is my art expression, and I love it, and it's a conscious band, it has a good message, but it's not, like, godly and Christian-based.
Okay.
You know, we play in bars, and we play in these different venues that aren't, you know, a church or somewhere where people are looking really for it, like, you know, expressing that way, I guess.
Okay.
And I just don't know kind of what I'm dealing with. I've been talking with some friends and lately, and it's like, you know, do I be the light in the dark, or, you know, do I kind of step away and see where God takes me, you know, in a different way, like. So it's just, I've been struggling with it because it's, you know, the message is good, but...
I'm gonna let Matt jump in on this in just a second because he was in that, man.
Yeah.
But before I do, I want to say, for me, my answer for you would be this. There is no right answer. To me, it depends on who you are.
That's what I wanted to ask more questions.
And so for me, if you're a person who you realize, man, I gave my life to Christ, I'm strong in my faith, I'm passionate, I want to see lives change, then I'd say, you know what, go for it, because you're going to be strong in your faith, you're going to be a light in the dark. But if you say, you know what,
I love I'm a
people pleaser, and I know that if I stay in this band each night as we're in clubs, we're in bars, I'm going to be tempted by girls, by alcohol, by drugs. If you know that you're going to be one of those kind of a people, then run from it as fast as you can.
And that was,
I think, it kind of depends on who you are.
Yep.
But as far as kind of a stance of, you know, what is the role of a Christian in being in bars and being in a secular band? One, I wish Steven was here too.
Me too.
But Matt was in that, man.
Yep.
So I want Matt to kind of put in his two cents on this, because he was in that whole world.
Yeah,
I was.
Yes, Teo.
So, friend, I played in a band called Waverly, and we were primarily a Christian band. But then later in our, quote, career, which is a loose term, we played in bars and stuff too. But then also I joined House of Heroes after that, and we were more of a play in bars, all the bars and clubs all the time band. And so really it's just like Nate said, it's, you got to figure out where, I guess, how comfortable you're going to be in either situation. Because I'll give you the flip side of only playing in churches. A lot of people aren't really looking for anything other than a worship experience, which rightfully so. You're in a church.
Yeah.
So for Waverly, a lot of times we would show up to a church to play our music, and they didn't want a worship set. They wanted our band to play. And we were just glorified babysitters. And there's not a lot of personal satisfaction in being a glorified babysitter. I'll tell you that much.
Right.
I say that because it gets really old really, really quick, and you start questioning. You're like, why am I even doing this? We're literally just playing music in the background while these kids look at their phones and talk to each other. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Why don't they just play a CD?
Right.
Yeah. You know, which...
It would have been cheaper.
It would have been a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side... We really found in Waverly our passion was being a light in the dark. We would go play in a bar in front of 10 people and feel like we had done more ministry and really lived up to our calling than if we played at a church on a Wednesday night filled with 3,000 people.
Right.
Because that's just where we all felt like we needed to be. But like Nate said and like Steve-O said, that was totally a personal decision. And then after Waverly broke up, I went on to play in House of Heroes, and that was just the best because it was totally into that. And there were House of Heroes has never been a band where people were like, you know, oh, yeah, they'll come play our whatever church service, because it's always been known since the onset of the band that they played in bars.
Yeah.
And that they were Christians that played in bars. And I'll be honest with you, like in those shows, you know, you would go, you'd get done playing, and you'd go sit at the bar, and every night you would get in a conversation with somebody about God.
Yeah.
It would go that way. It would just always head that way.
Yeah.
And so that was like our real ministry. Now, some people are going to question that and be like, what? You can't do that.
And I was going to say, on the flip side of that, then you have to contend with other Christians.
Right.
Because then on the other end of this spectrum are those Christians who would say, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You're playing in bars. How can you do that? And then I think Nate was spot on with the questions from the very onset. You have to truly seek the Lord on this. You have to truly, man, and don't lie to yourself. Don't fake yourself out and say, nah, bruh, I got this. I know who I am. You know, if that's the case, if that's true, right on, man, because that's where
there have been a lot of Christian bands who have been those bands who played in bars, but they were not strong in their faith.
Right.
And they did get sucked into
and on the flip side,
doing drugs.
There have been a lot of Christian bands who exclusively played in churches and played worship who fell into the exact same thing.
True. Very true.
So it's,
it all depends
it's
on
totally,
the person.
Yeah, it depends on you. Now, I'll say this. If it's really an expression of your art, and that's really what it's about, and it's not... and your band's not worship, then I think for you, there's going to be eventually a place where you're not satisfied with only playing in a Christian band. But I don't know you. That's just from what you've said.
Yeah.
But, you know, if that's the way you feel like you need to go, because a lot of times I notice, like, when people become believers, they have to do, like, a pendulum swing to get themselves out of situations.
Brian Head Welch, immediately, guitar player from Korn, immediately left the band, took a year to be discipled, and then came out of the gate with his first record, which was kind of poorly received. It did all right. And then his second record, and then it was like, all right, they're going to change the band to Love and Death, and it never really caught on.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's full circle, him playing in the back in Korn, and Fieldy, the bass player, who's now a believer. They just do stuff with the Whosoevers, but as Korn.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean...
And not without controversy, because, I mean,
they
get a lot of crap for that.
A lot of it.
Because they're like, I can't believe you're not a Christian anymore, which
I think is
asinine, but that's just my opinion.
I would love to be able to just give you an answer, but our place.
I've been struggling with it, so it's hard. I know I'm always seeking an answer and looking for, you know, somehow to get the answer from our Lord. And sometimes it's through people, you know. He puts those words in you guys and tells me, you know, instead of just being, oh, well, am I going to hear this out of the sky or whatever.
Yeah.
So, well, what about, you said you have a family, you have a wife and kids?
Yeah, I don't, and that's the thing I'm realizing. It's like,
I have a girlfriend and I have kids.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
I'm
gotcha.
Starting to realize I've kind of done things backwards, and it's a hard realization. And I know God's going to forgive me and all those things, but I still get the consequence of like knowing I kind of did it wrong.
Hey,
now
does
your girlfriend Christian? Does she have a relationship with God now?
She's getting there, and it's more by like my leadership. And so it's like when I say, well, I'm going to be in this band that I was in before we had our relationship, and you know it's a good message, and but you know if we make it or if we just try to get there, and we're going to be gone on the road and gone here, and I'm going to have to leave, and I'm going to have to leave you guys, and I know you're not in your faith so much, and I can't say, well, you need to read and you need to figure it out, you need to push all this stuff on her. Instead of leaving and being like, okay, well, this is what I'm doing, and look how I feel. Like, I'm doing these different things. It's like getting to the point where, you know, we're doing things so backwards. We're living in the same house, and we're not married, and
yeah.
We have the kid. And
that's a bigger deal than being in a band.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, well, now that's the main issue. It's like, now the band, I can have fun, and I can play, and I can resist the temptations all I want, but, you know, I'm like, am I really showing her the best of it? You know?
Yeah, man. I think you got to worry about your home before you worry about the band, because you got to realize, man, right now living with your girlfriend, every time you have sex, it's a sin. And so, you know, I think you got to.
Yeah.
I think you got to.
That was a huge thing for her. Like, I'm like, we're sleeping in different beds, and it's like.
Good for
you. Do we sleep in different houses? And it's like, I was talking to my pastor, and he's just like, well, you do what you feel like you can do to resist those temptations and be the best you can for the Lord. Like, so it's like, and when I told her that, it was a rough night. Like, you know, I'm like, I need to sleep on the couch and you can take the bed. And she's like, what?
I think you got to let her know. I think you got to let her know within that you're doing it not just for you, but you're doing it for her. I think you got to let her know, look, I want to treasure and respect. I want to treasure and respect your honor and your purity. And I want to treasure and respect, you know, your, I want to honor that part of you. You know, sex isn't just something to be frivolously thrown around, and I do love you.
Yeah.
And let her know, look, it's not that I don't want to have sex with you. I do want to have sex with you, but I honor you and I treasure you, and I want the best for you. And so, man, I think you focus on that way before you focus on the band life. Yeah. You know, I would even say, look, put the band on hold until you get what's going on at home settled and in the right place, because having a job, having a band, and having a relationship where you have kids with a girl who you're not married to, and you're living there, and you're letting her know that you can't have sex anymore, good night, man. That's a lot. And eventually one ball is going to fall, and you don't want that ball that falls to be the family life. Mm-hmm. And so I would put other things on hold until you can get what's going on at home settled and in the right position, and then look at what else you got going on.
I agree with that, too, because if you just up and like, are you guys legitimately doing a tour, or is it kind of like a, man, we're probably going to be on the road?
Yeah, I mean, it's to that point where we're working with a bigger promoter in town, and he's getting us on a lot of shows, like, here, like, with bigger names, and we're trying to, like, figure, you know, where we would fit, you know, when we, like, kind of slowly start moving on. You know, it's going to be a few cities here, a few cities there from, like, our hub here.
Well, I was going to say, if you guys had like a tour lined up, that I think it would be smart to kind of take a step back, because in your girlfriend's eyes, if you're dropping all this stuff on her and then you're like, and
bouncing,
I'm out for a month, good luck. That's not the way to be.
Right.
But you
especially
know,
with your kids, man, you want your kids to make sure that they're getting the right influence.
Yeah. But as far as like just the band thing, is, you know, if you guys aren't leaving town, I think it's important. You got a lot to focus on at home. And focus on that. I'm not telling you to quit the band, but I would say it's definitely easier to not quit since you're not really leaving town.
Right.
If you were going out on tour, then I think my advice would be like, you need to step off for a little bit, you know?
Yeah. That's how I feel, just even though we're not on tour, I feel like that. And I've
Well, there you go.
Dude, if you feel like that, if you feel like that.
Yeah.
That assurity from you guys has really helped, so I really appreciate you guys.
Right on, man.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for entrusting us with that, because it's a big question and a lot to take in. But
those are the things we love talking about on this show.
Absolutely. And there's one thing I wanted to say, because you said something earlier and it kind of like, wait, wrong. And it was this. You were talking about how you have children with your girlfriend. You know you've done it all wrong, but you know that God is going to forgive you for that. I want you to know that he already, that's it. He already has. You've got to lock that in because all of that was level at the foot of the cross. All right. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. Okay. All of those sins from your past, man, are.
As long as you're not still living in it, you know, as long as you're.
That's it. That's why I say from the past. You've got to move forward from that in the power of the blood of Christ because. You are redeemed. So don't sell yourself.
You know,
short,
and that's
going
to be. And that's why I say you've got a lot to focus on at home because, you know, the ideal would be that she would accept Christ and then that you would marry her. But likewise, if she doesn't accept Christ, if she rejects Christ, then the right thing to do, and that's the tough part, man. If she doesn't accept Christ, she doesn't, you know, believe in the same things you do. Eventually, there's going to come a point where you've got to realize that it's a sin to be in a relationship with her, and that you would then have to, you know, remove yourself from that relationship and seek to try to get your kids into, you know, a lifestyle where they can grow up believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. And so that's a hard decision to make.
Well,
so
I think, and then just believing and having that faith is like it's got us there. Like I've been pushing it in and trying to say, well, you need to do this because, you know, look, it's going to be the best. And when I took a step back and said, you know, well, this is what I'm doing, and we're not saying it but just showing it, and she, you know, she went to Bible study with me last night, and
Praise the Lord, spoke a lot.
And she's just like, you know, like she's seeing that, and I'm just, you know, letting her follow her path. And
good job, dude.
But,
incredible. I like
good,
that.
Good, man. Well, keep, you know, keep taking her to church. Like I said, you know, like what you said, don't pressure her. Don't say, well, you know, you need to do this. You need to believe this. But, you know, be that positive influence and give her time. But understand that eventually you can't always play the role for the next 10 years of just being the boyfriend who has kids with her, who you live in the same house, you know. Eventually there's going to come a point where she's going to have to make that decision to accept or reject Jesus Christ. And then you're going to have to make that decision to either do what you God has called you to do and not be unequally yoked, or to not do what God's called you to do and just continue in that relationship. So I think that, you know, you've got to pray that God would speak to her, but then, you know, be in that place where you're ready to do what the Lord wants you to do.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks again, guys. I appreciate you.
God bless. All right, man. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Bye. That's why we do the show. I just remembered. I thought it was to talk about comics and movies and stuff.
Dude.
Okay.
No.
No? Okay.
We got a couple of emails.
Yeah?
We do. Dude, believe it or not, guys.
Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700, the phone number. You can email
phone
us.
Phone calls
as well.
Are always so much better.
Or Facebook. Looks like we had a Facebook comment or question at least. Facebook.com/star88FM or studio@star88.fm. Teo!
Okay. So I have a quick question. As a follower of Jesus, how do you refer to a person who has undergone a gender transformation, i.e. if they were Nicole and now they are Nick, which pronoun do you use? She, he? I always find myself using awkward she, he, because I don't know how to handle it. They are human beings loved and created perfectly by God who have made a choice to change who they are. And while I do not agree with the decisions, I'm not sure how to address the pronoun issue. Thanks, guys.
So, man... It's a really good question because on one hand, it's like, nah, bro, they were created in the image of God as male, so I'm going to make sure that I say him and stand on this hill and die. But at the same time, you are super offending this person, right? So if they've undergone, this is one of the
hypotheticals. Like, think about even in the secular world, though. Even in the secular world, so look at the Kardashians, man. Look at Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
Those girls still call him their dad.
Right. That's
true. They don't call him their mom. They call him their dad.
Yeah.
Because they're like, look, I grew up with him. He's my dad. I'm not going to call him mom.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so I think that even the secular world, there's a sense of, dude, what you were created as is who you are.
Yeah.
And no matter whether you want to change it or not, sure, I can be politically correct and call you what you want to be called, but that would be like me saying, you know what? I really decided that I'm a horse now. I've got a horse inside me, and that's who I am.
Does that mean I call
and
you
so
Nate?
If you do not refer to me as a horse, I'm going to be offended. You know, okay, great, but that's just crazy. There's nothing. I mean, you can. Sure, I can say that, but
I'm calling you Nate. Oh man, incredible! A horse of all things,
of course.
Gosh, this is, it's a really tricky, like, hypothetical. If we're talking about a specific human being in your life who has actually gone a sex change, that has actually gone through a procedure, and they're like, hey, I was a dude, now I'm a lady, I went through all this stuff, I feel like you would you call him her?
I don't know, man.
Because if we're talking about role-playing, you're like, no, I'm a boy, but I feel like a girl and I want to wear a dress. It's like, no, dude, you're a dude. I don't know. I'm being super insensitive with it right now. It's a tough question.
It
but
is
it's
really
also
tough.
A strange hypothetical.
It's not a hypothetical. 20 years ago, it was a hypothetical.
That's true.
Today, it's a reality.
That's quite true. I feel like I would just, yeah. I'm going to line one because I'm hearing that that's where we need to go. So I'm going out there. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just felt kind of compelled to call in and talk about what you guys are discussing this morning. I found myself in that situation before. I'm currently kind of going through that situation now. I have somebody in my family that is in the process of changing their gender. And it was difficult for me at first. And I wanted to call them on it and tell them how wrong they were. And I wanted to do all these prideful things. But I found that over the last few years as this has been going on, and this person is still in that process, of, they've changed their name and they've done all these different things, I've just found that giving them the respect first and that compassion and letting them know that you're there for them and then just abiding by what they want to do and calling them he or she is not going to be really the issue. If you do that and you let them know that you're there and you respect what their decision is, you're going to be able to talk to them about Jesus Christ. Mm. And I have been able to. That's been the situation. I've been able to tell them, you know, I don't know what you're going through now. I don't know what this means. I don't think that you're doomed to hell because of this. And I think that's the last thing that people need to hear is that they're going to be doomed. And, well, anyway, I know that's not the subject, but just...
No, I mean, it ties in because it is a really good question. That's why, when we posed it, that's kind of the issue is, okay, you know, do we stand on this hill and die, or do we respect them as a human being now?
I think there is a line. For me, the line is that you can respect them as a human being, but at the same time, I don't think that you need to go to a place where you say, yeah, I totally agree and respect what you're doing. Yeah.
Well,
I can respect you without respecting.
The person that I'm talking about knows where I stand and what I stand on these issues and where I stand on it. But the first thing that I told to them is I don't think that you're doomed in your life. You know, this may be just where you are in your life. I don't know where you're going to be in the end. But in the end, we all stand before God, and he's going to judge you.
Yeah.
So I don't need to do that. You know what I mean? I think that, like, Calvary has a message about God loves homosexuals, and I think that's where we need to stand. And then if these people... You say, I respect what you're saying right now. If that's where you're going in your life, this is what I believe, and I hope that you don't think that I hate you because of that.
Yeah, and I think we do. Again, I think we need to respect those people, but I do not think that we need to respect their sin. And I think there's this really dangerous teaching in the church today about respectable sin, and it's like, okay, well, there's certain sins, and we have this tendency as Christians when there's an issue that we really don't want to talk about with people because it's a touchy subject, that our response is, well, I don't get to judge you, God gets to judge you, so I'm just going to love you and not tell you that what you're doing is wrong. And so I think that we need to tell people whenever we find someone in sin that our first response needs to be, you know, that if you keep doing that, you're going to go to hell. I don't think that needs to be our response, but I do think when push comes to shove, if they ask us, like, hey, what do you think about what I'm doing? What do you think about my lifestyle? That we need to be upfront, because there is a teaching in the Bible that we can say if someone is living in sin, if someone is habitually in sin, if their lifestyle is marked by sin, we know that if they die, they're going to go to hell, because the Bible tells us that. We know that. So do I believe that if someone has a sex change that they're doomed to hell? No, if they turn from that, if they come to a place in their life where they realize, you know what I did was wrong and I wish I wouldn't have done that, and I want to repent for that sin. If they get to a place in their life where they repent from that sin, do I believe they can go to heaven? Yes, I do. But if they habitually for the rest of their life live a lifestyle where they say, no, this is right, and I can be a Christian and do this, that is not right, and that will be judged. And so I think that we need to call sin sin, but at the same time we do need to love people. And so, you know, you see that pattern within the life of Christ, is that Jesus loved all people. That's why we did that series, Jesus Loves People, and one of the topics was Jesus Loves Homosexuals, is that Jesus does love them, but that doesn't mean that he permits them to continue on in that kind of a sin. And so I do think that the church should be a place where we tell all people, look, it doesn't matter what you're going through in life, we want to go through it with you. You're welcome in these doors. You walk through these doors, we're not going to look at you funny, we're not going to tell you to walk away, we're not going to tell you that this isn't your place. But at the same time, just like we would preach against any sin, We're gonna talk about sin, and we're gonna let you know that if you ever ask us that we think that what you're doing is wrong, it doesn't mean we love you any less, but it does mean that we think that what you're doing is wrong. And as people who love you and want to see the best for your life, there's gonna come a point in our relationship where we're gonna tell you, man, you need to flee from sin and you need to turn to God, because we love you and we don't want to see you get judged and we don't want to see you go to hell. And so I think that it is finding that balance within the walk of a Christian.
Yeah, dude, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, God bless you guys. I love you.
God bless you, man.
God bless you, man.
All right. Whew. We have like 2 minutes left. Is that enough time, line two?
She wanted to talk about the actor question we had earlier.
Okay. Yeah. Let's get straight there. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hi. I wanted to talk about the previous conversation about people who are auditioning. And I just wanted to give the women's side of it. You know, it was really hard for me as a woman in that field, and you know, just some of the situations that I was placed in from the very beginning, and starting out really young, you know, wanting to pursue acting, getting an agent, and going, you know, to audition for day player roles and stuff like that. And a lot of the roles were constantly, I mean, especially being a minority woman, the prostitute, you know, the those types of roles that I was auditioning for, or just placed in situations where, you know, I was married and I didn't feel comfortable with some of the things I was asked to do. And I you know, my husband was really supporting me in, you know, trying to pursue this. And but the majority of scripts, and maybe like one, I saw that there was some value in it, where, you know, the story at the end was really a great message. But as a woman, it was, you know, really, really difficult. And even just being part of the whole scene, I mean, just being there, I would, you know, constantly being pulled in different directions by the director and by other people. And so I just wanted to give the woman's perspective. And now, you know, young girls or people want to go into that industry, and I just don't know what to tell them, to discourage them, because they really want to pursue this, but it's difficult to give advice.
Right.
Going through what I went through.
Yeah. Wow. Man, I wish we had more time.
I know.
But thank you so much for that, because that's one thing we are lacking here on Shock Therapy Live is the female perspective.
My wife just texted us.
Janae literally just texted us. So, yeah, perfect. Thank you so much.
Okay, great.
Thanks, you.
Thanks, guys. All take right. care. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Man, I love this show. It's fun. It's cray-cray. We have 13 seconds.
Anything profound to say in 13 seconds?
No, dude. I am tapped. Teo?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm sweet. Good.
Until next time, you can catch the podcast, star88.fm. That's it for us.
You did have something else to say.
Steve O'Teo.
Goodbye.
The statements expressed on Shock Therapy Live by hosts, guests, or call-in listeners are solely opinions. They are not intended to be medical or psychological counseling. There are no licensed counselors present, and suggestions given on this program are non-clinical opinions of those who express them. If you are in need of professional help, please seek medical assistance. The opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily represent the position of Star 88 staff or management, or of Calvary Albuquerque.